In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you know you're in trouble when I carry more than one book up. Yeah, this is a struggle with extemporaneous preaching as the Lord starts to hand you things. I've mentioned that before. And that hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And as I was listening to it yet again and loving it as always, I noticed that as the gospel procession was returning, the organist began to play it, you know, a little louder and then a little softer. And I don't know what most people hear when he starts to play. But I suspect maybe as he begins that, people's minds go to Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Mine always goes to Prone to Wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That is what usually runs through my mind when I'm, and through my heart, quite honestly, when that hymn is played. It's the last verse. And you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with anything? And I'd like to say that I'm very much on top of what hymns are going to be played on Sunday morning, but I'm not. That's, you know, kind of what we pay Matt to do. And we trust the choir with it, and it all works pretty well, and God usually handles it. So here we are this morning, listening to Paul talk to the church in Corinth. And it says, Now I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand. Well, why would he say that? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, right? The church in Corinth was prone to wander. The church in Valrico is prone to wander. We get a little off base sometimes. I see some yeses. That's good, I think. Well, at least we're in agreement. Maybe it's not good that we're off base, but it does happen, doesn't it? So the church in Corinth was a little off base. They were struggling with the concept of the dead rising. And Paul is attempting to correct that. Our lectionary didn't really do us any favors other than the fact that it didn't give us the entire chapter to read today. But to split this chapter is a very difficult thing to do. We'll hear the rest of it next week. But if we listen to the rest of it, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So the people in the church in Corinth were saying, well, I don't believe there's any resurrection of the dead. And Paul basically is gathering together in this portion of his letter and saying, if you say there's no resurrection of the dead, then there was no resurrection of Jesus. And if we take that part out, then who is Jesus? I got a good Episcopal amen on that one. And he's pointing them back. Talks about how he... Well, we'll go to verse 3. For I handed on to you as of first importance, what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to 12. And then he went on to talk about the other times in which Jesus appeared. He's saying to them that if this is true, Jesus, who we know, was arrested, and even says some of these people are still alive, he was arrested, he was convicted, he was beaten, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen? Good basic understanding. But the church in Corinth had let a little bit of it slide. Well, we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. If you're wondering if you do, listen carefully when we do the creed later. We do. I took away the surprise, I know. It's a basic understanding of the faith. What's happening? Well, life is happening. Sometimes things that are mysterious are hard to hold on to. So we explain them away a little bit. So in my life, I used to work with these things that were extremely mysterious. They were called Xerox engineering copiers. I don't know if you ever worked with a copier. They're a little better now that they're digital, but before they were digital. You know, you'd put it in and you just hope something came out. That they jammed, they had spots on them, they had voids all over them. Now imagine that 3 feet wide. That's an engineering copier. And strangely, it was my job to fix them. We always called it working on them. They said, can you fix it? It's like, I can work on it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fix it or not. So inevitably, you would arrive, and it's been doing some mysterious thing. And then you couldn't get it to do that mysterious thing while you were there. So you know the story. So you would run it and go, well, depending on how you felt that day, you'd say, it's working fine. I can't do anything with it if it doesn't do it while I'm here. I can't make it do it. Or if we were really doing our job, and when I say we, I mean me, we would do what we would call baseline the machine, which meant you took it apart, every piece of it that you could, and you cleaned it, and you tightened it up, and you went through all the electronic pieces, and you reset all the values, and it took time. But inevitably, when you were done, it worked. We don't know necessarily what happened in between that time, but you just know that by going to the very basics of the machine and making sure everything was the way it was intended to be, the outcome was what you expected. So Paul's doing that a little bit with the church today, both in Corinth and here in Valrico. I think he's saying to us, let's look at the very basics of our understanding of the gospel, the good news. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you. He's reminding the church. Let's not get caught up in what the world's been saying to you since I was there with you last. We understand that this concept of the dead rising again is difficult. But just remember, if you go and settle with the world and say, rising of the dead is too difficult for me to proclaim as part of the gospel, you are cutting away a piece of the very good news of Jesus Christ. So he's baselining the church. Get back to the core. So the church is prone to wander, probably because those of us in it tend to do the same. We get caught up, don't we? And sometimes we think we're caught up in good things. And sometimes we find out we were just busy. And sometimes mysterious things happen, and we're not really sure how it happened, and we forget to go back to the base and say, was that God? So sometimes we go grasping for things. We get nervous. What's going on in the world? It's overwhelming. I don't know what to do with it. And we start to move with the world a little bit, when what we really need to do is move back into the Word of God, amen? And find out, well, what does God want me to do in the midst of this? Do I continue to chase after a way to present this that the world will be happy? Or do I remain faithful to the gospel message, all of it, even the parts that are difficult to explain, so that we don't leave any of it out? We can chase after programs. We can chase after particular individuals. We can look for just the right way to present the gospel so that the world might stop for a second and listen. But if we're going to be faithful, we should just stick with the gospel. We can worry about all sorts of fussy things. We do fussy things here. We like them mostly, don't we? I mean, I got pretty dresses that I wear, and we got candles, and we got a nice building. We have a pipe organ with some nice new lighting, and we have all these things that are going on around us, and we can get distracted by them. Or we can go to the base of the gospel and bring our worship from there and use these things as tools to help us better come forward with our worship to God. See, so it's not really about this building. It's not about some program or another that we might get a hold of that hopefully other people will be interested in and come to hear the good news. It's not even, don't tell them, it's not even about the music. Although it's good to be. But it's really just about one thing, isn't it? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. It's all familiar, right? We hear it over and over. So as we go forward from here, I think from time to time, just like in Corinth, it's also good for us here in Valrico to hear, get to the basics. Grab a hold of the core of the good news. Hear what Paul's saying. Because for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Well, he'd be the last person we'd want to hire, right? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Key element. Paul is who he is by the grace of God, and most importantly, who knows it? Paul. He's the one who knows. He knows it's by the grace of God that he is who he is. He also knows all the things that he did before he saw the grace of God in his own life. And because of that, he continues to move forward. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. A little boasting, I guess. Though it was not I. Oh, maybe he's not. Not I, but the grace of God that is with me. He doesn't even think it's him doing it anymore. Although I'm sure people have said to him, wow, Paul, that was good. Or they may have said, maybe it wasn't. But the fact of the matter is, he understood that he was moving from the foundation of the good news of the gospel, not varying from it, staying tight to it, sharing it with those that God called him to share it with, and never wavering. Well, he probably did a little. But mostly he didn't. He didn't write down when he wavered too much. It can be found. But he's holding to it. But the big question becomes, by what strength? By the strength of God alone. And for what reason? Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. No other reason. No other reason than that. Brothers and sisters, I love our tradition. I love the way that we gather. I love the way we worship, but I love it for one reason. For me, it points to Jesus every single time. Doesn't matter what condition I'm in when I walk in that door. By the time I leave, I know I've had an encounter with the risen Lord. He calls me to the table where he indwells us. This is our place where we combine heaven and earth. Right here, God, by his grace, enters into our space. And from that, we hear more truthfully the good news. Because we don't just hear it, we experience it. And when we can hear it, when we can experience, then we can live it. We can live the good news only by his grace, only by his strength, and only for one reason, and that is so that others may come to believe. Amen?